Well, good morning. As always, I greet you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who calls us to gather here in this place of worship to give our thanks and praise. And as always, it's so good to see so many of you here this morning. I love how you enjoy one another, how you seem to be excited to be here. I look forward to this hour all week, and I enjoy being with you during this hour. And I just want to say an extra word of welcome to any visitors we might have among us today. If you are visiting with us, I simply like to say that you are our guest, and we want you to feel like our guest. We hope you feel welcomed here, hope you feel God's spirit and God's presence, but we're so thankful that you have chosen Central United Methodist Church to be your place of worship today. As far as announcements are concerned, we do have some meetings that are taking place this week, some planning meetings, and you can certainly see those in the, look at those on the calendar in the back of your bulletin. As you may notice, Paige, Reverend Wolf, is not with us this morning. One of her children was exposed to COVID in the classroom this week, and so they are at home quarantining and taking precautions and so forth. We'll hope and pray that, you know, it's that nobody contracted COVID or anything like that. So, but we certainly will remember Paige and her children and her family in our prayers today. Want us to take a notice of the gorgeous flower on the altar this morning. The flowers are given by Jeanette and Wes Robison in loving memory of their parents, Dick and Betty Bull, and Bill and Betty Robison, and also the flower that is on the altar is in honor of Lily Ann, their granddaughter. So we want to celebrate all of that with both of you this morning. I see you back there, and we celebrate. Let us continue to worship. And let us pray. Open wide the window of our spirits, O Lord, and fill us full of light. Open wide the doors of our hearts, that we may receive and entertain thee with all our powers of adoration and love. Amen. Our Psalter lesson today comes from Psalm 84. I ask you and invite you to turn to page 804 in your hymnals. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs in giving thanks for the courts of the Lord. My heart lets sing for joy to the living God.
O Lord of hosts, my ruler and my God, at your altars even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young.
Blessed those who dwell in your house, ever sing your praise.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
As they go through the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear our prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield.
For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield and bestows favor and honor.
No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed are those who trust in you.
Seated. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from 1 Kings chapter 8 with selected verses. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the ancestral houses of the Israelites, before King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place underneath the wings of the cherubim. And when the priest came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. The covenant that you kept for your servant, my father David, as you declared to him. You promised with your mouth and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, There shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel. If only your children look to their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, that your eyes may be open night and day to this house, the place of which you said, My name shall be there, that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people, Israel, when they pray toward this place. O, here in heaven, your dwelling place, heed and forgive. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, comes from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, so that they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built. And at this time, I invite all of the children to come forward and join me here at the altar rail. We've got one, and I'm thankful for that. No, Paige usually brings one. Thank you for coming down. You are so brave. I appreciate that. So I'm going to sit on the first pew because, well, I've noticed that Miss Paige likes to kneel on her knees, but I'm pretty sure if I try that, I won't be able to get back up. And I'll have to preach from the floor, so I don't want to do that. All right, so I just read, and you were so brave to be here. I'm so thankful that you came down. So just a moment ago, I read a scripture lesson about King Solomon dedicating the temple to God. And the temple is, well, in a way, it's kind of like this church building. And it's a place where we come to worship and to pray and to hear about God and to hear about Jesus and to sing hymns and songs of praise to God and to Jesus. So in a way, this is kind of our temple, and we come here and sometimes we feel God's presence with us. When we pray in this place, sometimes we feel just how close God is to us. But one of the things that King Solomon made clear is that God, even though God is with us in this place, God is a lot bigger than this building, than this house. God is actually so big that there's nothing that can actually hold God. Not the earth or the heavens or the sky or the oceans or anything. For God is so big that we can't even imagine. So the good news for us is that God is with us all the time. And wherever we go. And I put posters here. These are actual photos that I've turned into posters. And even though I do feel close to God when I come here on Sundays with all of these folks, there are other places where I feel very close to God. And so I brought a pic. This is one poster. What does that look like? trees. Yes, very good. It looks like trees and it looks like mountains, right? I tell you what, I'm actually going to show everybody here since I've got this. I know in the back it may not be plain, but this is a gorgeous photograph of the Blue Ridge Mountains, one of my favorite places and a place where I experience God. So when I go to the mountains and I walk through the trees and the forest, I feel close to God in a way that I don't in most other places. I feel close to God in the mountains. Now this one's a little bit more, maybe more challenging to understand. What does this look like? Yes, you are so amazing. There's a river here and there are cliffs. This is a photograph of the Colorado River and the Grand Canyon. Also one of my favorite places, and I spent a whole week here one time rafting through that river, and every day I was just amazed at God's beauty, and I felt so close to God. I'll show the rest of the folks this as well. This is an actual photograph of the Colorado River running through a certain section of the Grand Canyon. And even though it looks so different, it looks a lot different than this other picture, doesn't it? That has all the trees and the mountains. Even though it looks so different, I also felt close to God there. And I felt like God was with me in a very special way. So God is with you all the time when you play with your friends, when you play games, and when you're at school, and when you're with your mom and dad and family. God is always with us. And sometimes we might find a place where we feel even closer to God than in other places. And those are good places for us to be. Will you pray with me and just follow along with what I pray? You are so brave. Thank you. Dear God, we thank you for loving us, being with us in this place. Amen. Thank you so much. You can go back to your mom and dad, but you were so sweet and so brave. Thank you so much. Wow, I'm impressed. I am very impressed. As we come to our time of prayer in our service. Wow, you know, when you watch the news, it just seems overwhelming sometimes. There's just so many things that seem to be going on in our world, and perhaps it's always been that way, but now with access to 24-hour-a-day news cycles, maybe, you know, we're just exposed to it a little bit more, but it just certainly seems to be overwhelming. And of course, we have to remind ourselves that no matter what is going on in this world, it is ultimately God's world. And we know that God has this world in God's hands, and we just pray. So we want to pray for a lot of things this morning. Of course, we remember all those being impacted by the situation in Afghanistan. We certainly pray for U.S. citizens, but we pray for the Afghan people themselves and all that they're struggling with and going through. We certainly pray for our leaders as they make critical decisions about this situation. We continue to pray for the people in Haiti. This got kind of lost in the news cycle, but they had a tremendous earthquake recently that devastated their country, which was already very devastated. I actually was on a mission trip there in 2000 and just remember what it was like back then. I can't even imagine what it would be like today. We certainly continue to remember our healthcare workers and those on the front lines dealing with COVID and the recent variant and those who are suffering from COVID. And of course, in the Northeast, up in New England, there's a major hurricane that is approaching that area, Hurricane Henry. So we certainly want to remember those who might be in its path. Closer to home, we want to continue to pray for Keith, and we're thankful that he's here today and doing well. We continue to pray for Stephanie Hatley and Deborah Liner and Caroline Keaton and Mildred Reagan and Henry Sparrow and Tom Wilkes and Vic Blanchion. We can add him to our list as well. And let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, when we find ourselves seemingly overwhelmed by what is happening, not just around the world, but even in our own backyard. We are reminded that this is indeed your world, that this is your creation, that we come to you in prayer, particularly when we do feel overwhelmed by circumstances, by situations, people we know and love who are suffering. We watch those on the television who are suffering as well. God, we pray for all of the situations and the circumstances which were just spoken. We certainly pray for the people in the situation in Afghanistan, but also in Haiti. Continue to pray for those impacted directly and indirectly by COVID, our frontline healthcare workers. We pray for those who lie in the path of Hurricane Henry, that they may be able to evacuate, be with first responders, those who will be on the ground, who will be on the scene, protect and watch over and bless. Oh God, in times like this, we pray for faith, a strong faith, that allows us to entrust these things into your hands, but also move us to respond in whatever ways that we can. So I pray that you will give us vision and imagination to respond to whatever goes on around us, that we might be instruments of peace and healing and hope and relief and encouragement wherever we find ourselves. Oh God, we pray for those whose names have been spoken this morning, those who particularly are part of our church family and congregation. Touch each of them with your healing hand. Bless not only them, but also their caretakers. Bless those who are making decisions about medical care and treatment. Grant wisdom and guidance and direction. Oh God, we're thankful most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has defeated our greatest fear and enemy, death itself, who has made a way for us into eternal life and into your eternal kingdom. Oh God, we are thankful that you loved us enough, that you were willing to send your Son, Jesus Christ, into our world. And we remember the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I invite our ushers to come forward, if they will, to collect our tithes and offerings. Please remain standing for our gospel lesson today. Comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
So 1994 was a very significant year in my life because two major events occurred during that year. The first is that I graduated from Duke Divinity School on May the 13th of that year. And then on June the 16th of that year, I received my first appointment as a pastor. And as you can tell, there was about a month's difference in terms of the time frame between when I graduated on May the 13th and when I began serving my first appointment on June the 16th. Just a little bit over a month. And as you can imagine, there was a lot to do during that time period. Of course, there were things like saying goodbye to good friends that I had met over the course of those 3 years in divinity school, saying goodbye to professors, but then there were also the more practical matters of packing and getting a moving truck and making arrangements to move to the new appointment, which was going to be quite a contrast from where I had been living in Durham, North Carolina for the 3 years that I was at Duke Divinity School. Because I was going to be moving from Durham, which is a fairly decent sized city if you've ever been up that way before, and I was going to be moving to Liberty, South Carolina. Any of you familiar with Liberty, South Carolina? To just give you an idea of its size, Easley was the big city for us when we lived in Liberty. So I was going to be going from 3 years of divinity school, living in Durham, now to Liberty, South Carolina, where I would be serving what's called a two-point charge. Two small town or rural churches where I would be a full-time pastor for the very first time. And I knew that there would be a lot of first ahead of me. So it was an exciting time, that month in between, but it was also an anxious time because it was filled with so many unknowns. So many uncertain situations and circumstances that I knew that I would face, but I still didn't quite know what it would be like. I knew that I would face a lot of things that I had never faced before. And so during that month, I had that question in my mind, wondering, do I really have what it takes to do what lies ahead? It was a time of waiting that month. It was a time of wondering. And to some degree, it was a time of dreaming. It was a mixture of dreaming and worry. You know, some might call this time in my life a liminal time or liminal space or liminal moment. The word liminal comes from a Latin word meaning threshold. And yes, it's just like the threshold that we think about in a house that separates one room from another. Originally, it comes from the idea of the threshing floor, which was usually right outside the house or the home, and there was this little space in between the threshing floor and the home or house proper that was called the threshold. Today, we understand it as that tiny little small frame that separates rooms from other rooms. It takes us about 1 second to walk underneath or through that frame as we go from one room to another, even within our own homes. But it's about a moment of transition or transitioning. And we can also apply this to life, the threshold where we move from one phase of life to another phase, or we move from one stage of life to another stage. There's that split second moment when walking from one room to another in a house where we go through the threshold. And in life, we also have these threshold moments. Of course, they may last much longer than a few seconds. They can last weeks. They can last months. In some cases, they may last a year or even longer. I've thought about this whole business of the liminal this week as I really reflected on our two Old Testament scripture lessons today, the one from 1 Kings chapter 8 and also the one from Psalm 84, because in many ways, these psalms are addressing a liminal moment, a threshold moment. So for King Solomon, it's moving the Ark of the Covenant out of the old temporary tent, the movable tabernacle, now into this permanent structure that he has constructed. It'll be a permanent place now for the people of Israel to worship the temple in Jerusalem. But at this moment, as he dedicates that temple and as the ark is moving from one to the other, there's this threshold liminal moment. Also in Psalm 84, a liminal experience. For here we have a group of pilgrims, say from the Galilee in northern Israel, making their way to a festival in Jerusalem, to the temple in Jerusalem. And they're on their way and they're singing these songs of joy about what it will be like when they are inside the temple. Songs of joy, songs of anticipation. They're experiencing a foretaste of the joy, but they won't really experience it in its fullness, its completeness, until they are actually there. Right now, as they make their way to Jerusalem, that long road that goes from northern to southern Israel, they're in a liminal moment, a threshold, an in-between kind of place and experience. We could say that they are in transit, leaving one, but not quite arriving at the other. You know, there are many stories in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament that we could describe as liminal experiences. Some of our very favorite biblical stories. I think about the story of the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. They had left Egypt, but they had not quite arrived to the promised land yet. They were in this liminal threshold in between time. I think about the period of the exile in Babylon, that time in between when the Israelites had been captured and carted off into exile to Babylon, but before they were allowed to return to Jerusalem, that in-between time known as the exile. We could even think about Holy Saturday as a liminal moment in the life of Christ, that day between his crucifixion and his resurrection, that day of waiting, the in-between moment. We could think also about the time between Jesus' ascension and the day of Pentecost, that 10-day period where the disciples had to wait. Jesus had left, but they had not received the gift of the Holy Spirit yet, and they were called to remain in Jerusalem and just be still and wait for God. Richard Rohr reminds us that liminal moments in life are also sacred moments and sacred spaces. But as these biblical stories remind us, these liminal moments are usually not easy moments. As a matter of fact, they can be very trying and very difficult moments. We think about the Israelites in the wilderness. They had left Egypt where they had had a rhythm to their life. They knew where their meals were coming from. There was no guesswork in their life. It was stable and secure. Yes, they were slaves, but still, there was predictability and certainty to their lives. Here they were now in the wilderness, wandering around, not knowing where they were going to get their food, how they were going to survive, how they were going to be protected. They felt vulnerable. Those 40 years were filled with tension and uncertainty and insecurity before they entered the Holy Land. It can be a time of deconstruction before it is a time of reconstruction in our lives. Native indigenous Americans refer to this time as crazy time, because those liminal in-between moments can feel exactly like crazy time. The unknowns, the uncertainty, the unfamiliar. It can be a place where our assumptions about reality and about life and people, even our faith, even our religion and our understandings of God, can be stripped away. And again, we feel vulnerable. It's kind of like a paradigm shift where we move from one worldview or understanding of reality, but we haven't quite figured out a new worldview yet. And so we're in this period of what can feel like confusion and chaos. But it can also be a place of incredible new growth, new possibilities and new beginnings, the open. You know, it's not hard for us to think about our own liminal and threshold moments in life. Losing a job or leaving a job can certainly put you into that kind of space and place in your life. That time in between as you have left one job and maybe one identity, and now you are in the middle of searching for whatever the next will be, but you're not there yet. It can be a very disruptive and difficult and anxious time filled with tension. I can think about a difficult diagnosis and that long period of therapy and treatment where you're hoping and praying to get well and to get back to life, but you're not there yet, and you're going through this time between the diagnosis and when you will feel well again. You know, in many ways, we could even describe the past year and a half, I think, as a period of liminality, kind of an in-between. With COVID itself, I can't tell you how many times over the past year and a half I would say things like, I just wish we could get back to normal. Any of you said that over the past year and a half? I wish we could just get back to normal. Of course, I'm not even really sure what normal is anymore. And the truth is, sometimes what was normal was not always the best for us. Yes, it was predictable, it was secure, but normal is not always what's best. Nevertheless, the last year and a half has left us weary. I think we are feeling weary these days. And right when we thought maybe this whole COVID thing was starting to get behind us a little bit, all of a sudden, this variant comes back and we feel even more weary. You know, what this tells us is that these liminal experiences, these in-between threshold moments in life, are challenges, and they are filled with their own challenges. Certainly one of the challenges is to try to fight it. And I guess that's kind of normal at first. We want to fight. We don't want change. We don't want transition. We don't want to let go of the old. We want to get back to whatever we thought things were like, and we fight and resist. But at some point, the challenge becomes for us to begin to let go. That's one of the great tasks and challenges when you find yourself in an in-between period in life, that challenge of letting go of what was, so that now you can be open to receiving what will be. Letting go of past patterns, assumptions, ways of thinking, ways of being. Again, I think about the Israelites and how they had to let go of their old ways in Egypt under Pharaoh. They had to learn to let go of those old ways so that they would finally be prepared to receive the new that God had in store for them in the Promised Land. For them, it took 40 years for them to get to that place. That's a long time for transformation, to be remolded, to be reshaped, to let go of certain things that you may be fresh and open to what is new, to be ready, to be expectant for the new. You know, the liminal moments and spaces in life can offer gifts. They can offer gifts. Sometimes we will discover new things about ourselves, or we will really finally come to a place where we recognize things that we really don't like about ourselves, or maybe about life itself, and we want to change. We want to become more or to become differently. I know those 6 years that I worked in corporate America in a customer service call center certainly had a great impact on me, and I left there with a great deal of more confidence in myself. I discovered the gift of confidence during those 6 years away from the ministry. This time of liminality, threshold, can shape us. It's almost like a caterpillar in the cocoon. Doesn't look like on the outside that there's anything going on to us, but we know that inside a great deal of transformation is taking place. And you know, I guess a caterpillar can't really think about it. I don't know if the caterpillar's like, what's happening? I kind of like crawling around on the ground. At least I knew what to expect there, not knowing what is really going to come, where that caterpillar is not going to have to crawl on the ground anymore, but it's going to be able to fly. And it's going to be free in a way that the caterpillar in the cocoon cannot even imagine. It can be the same way with us in those liminal moments. Those moments are also are sometimes filled with fear, you know, and a scarcity mindset. And, you know, we sometimes tend to react at our worst out of fear, out of fear. It's normal to feel fear, but it's different to operate out of fear or to react out of fear. You know, when I think about this business of COVID and transition and the time in between and liminality, I can't help but to think of what a lot of economists are calling today the Great Resignation. Maybe some of you have read about this or you've heard this term, the Great Resignation. Forbes magazine actually has a great article from a couple of days ago about it. And what it's all about is the fact that so many people have resigned from their jobs or their careers over the last year and a half, or they're thinking about doing it. And it's because as a lot of people found themselves either out of work over the last year and a half, or they found themselves working at home, they kind of came to realize they didn't really like their jobs. They didn't really like their careers. They were just kind of stuck in them, and COVID came along and kind of forced them to be unstuck. And the blessing of it is it gave them the freedom and the opportunity to start reflecting on their lives in a new way and saying, you know, I don't want to go back to that. I want to do something different. I've always had this dream of being whatever or doing whatever. And COVID, in a weird kind of way, has given many people the opportunity to do that. Many people have realized that they value their time more than money. A lot of them are giving up well-paying jobs and taking on new jobs that don't pay as well, but will offer a lot more life satisfaction and will give them back a measure of their time and their life. A gift that has come out of COVID for a lot of people. Maybe not such a gift to a lot of employers. A lot of employers are going to have to change their ways to meet this great resignation. As a matter of fact, Forbes magazine, estimates that 41% of the workforce is considering a change in career today. That's quite significant. So these liminal experiences can transform our faith. They can do positive things when we go through a long struggle. They can make us more compassionate, more empathetic, have a greater perspective, can change our character and our values. Part of the challenge that we face and are called to, you know, some of the virtues that we are called to muster during these liminal moments is faith and patience. And I would say even courage, courage to face this time and not let ourselves be dictated by fear, but instead to be open to what the gifts and the possibilities might be in our threshold liminal moments, to trust that God is at work in our lives, maybe even in unseen ways, and God is changing and moving us in a direction that maybe we would have never moved into had it not been for these threshold movement times and moments that have been thrust upon us in life. The good news is we can trust God during our liminal moments. We can trust God to prepare us for whatever is coming next. We can allow God to work on us and in some ways to have God's way with us during our liminal moments. I think about the pilgrims in our Psalm lesson today, Psalm 84. It was never an easy journey to go from the Galilee to Jerusalem. It was at least 4 days on foot, very arid. Desert, very dry, very little water or vegetation or anything to sustain them. It was a difficult and long trip. And finally, when they got to the foot of the mountains, it was going to be a long and steep journey to the top of the mountains where they would find Jerusalem. But these pilgrims trusted that God would bring them there, bring them there safely, and they knew the joy that they would experience when they finally arrived and entered the temple of the holy city. The good news is that God is with us in the threshold, helping us let go of the past and making us ready to embrace the new. Amen. And once again, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and the power of His Holy Spirit bless each of you today and every single day. Amen.